Praise God. Well, if you got your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 1, if you would. Seems like I start a lot of sermons in Ephesians 1. In the classroom we teach Ephesians, it takes many weeks to get through the first chapter of Ephesians. Amen. I think I could teach 8 weeks on just this chapter. They're so rich. Ephesians is called the Prince of the Epistles. It's probably one of the, there's no problems dealt with in this. Paul's not writing to answer any problems. It's such a balance of who we are in Christ and then what we do now because of that. And, you know, that's something that we all need. We need to know who we are. We need to know who we are in Christ. We need to know what our redemptive realities are. But then we also need to know, okay, what now? Because we're still here. And tonight I want to talk to you about the grace of God. I want to talk to you about it from the aspect of, one of the aspects of the grace of God is the grace of God that empowers us to serve others. The grace of God that empowers us to serve others. And I'm just not talking about the grace of God that empowers us to serve others in the church. I'm talking about the grace of God that empowers you to be a good employee. Be a good employer, whatever, or be, you know, whatever you are, to be better at it because God's grace is working in and through you, enabling you to do what you could not do in and of yourself. You know, the grace of God just didn't bring us salvation. The grace of God continues to work on our behalf because God is gracious. Amen? And we all have a calling. We all have grace endowments from God. We want to look at that tonight. Here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Now, we're just going to stop right there because if I get going, I won't get back here. And so, what is the hope of his calling? So, tonight, let's believe God for a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of this grace. Amen? Let's believe God. Let's actively believe God. But then also, we want our understanding to be enlightened that we might know what is the hope of, now notice it says his calling. Now, I hear a lot of folks, time, you know, especially around here with Bible school and everything, they talk about, well, my calling. It's not your calling, it's his calling. I don't call myself. You don't call yourself into the ministry. What does it mean to call? Well, you know, to call is to invite to come. It's a summons. If I call you to the platform, I've invited you to come to the platform. I've called you, I've summoned you to the platform. I like to think of it this way. The calling is God's divine invitation to participate in what he's doing on the earth today. How many of you want to be a participator? Amen. You know, you're sitting there on the church pew or the bench, but you're not supposed to stay there. Now, nothing wrong with coming and being fed, but in life in general, we're not to be just bench play. We are participators. Amen. Now, I realize on every team and every organization, anything like that, there's some people that are more well-known than others on the team. That's fine. I don't care anything about that. Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? We're going to look at that also. But the hope, Bible hope, remember, is not just to wish. Bible hope is a confident expectation. I actually wrote this down from the definition. Confident expectation with joy. Confident expectation with joy of God's divine invitation and summons. To have hope is to be confident. Now, hope is also, it's future. We understand that. But notice, in reading this, the way it's written, what is God confidently expecting concerning what he's called you to do? You know, God has an expectation. I do believe we will stand before Jesus, not to get into heaven. Jesus took care of that. But we're all going to stand before him and give an account of what we've done here on the earth. What does that mean? We're going to give an account of what we did concerning the calling that we had. We're not going to turn there, but Romans 11, 29 says, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Any of you been dumb like me and tried to talk God out of what he called you to do? You ever done that? Just go to God, I don't want to do that. I don't feel, you know, I don't want to. No, you're not going to get anywhere with God that way, are you? In other words, before the foundation of the world, he knew exactly where you'd be, what you'd be. And he has a calling and a plan for your life. We love to quote Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith God. The plans I have for you, not of evil, but to give you a future and a hope. Boy, we love that. But that means God has a plan, right? God has a plan. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul of Tarsus, was headed off to do his plan, and God interrupted him. And he said, for this purpose I have called you. For this purpose I have appeared to you. See, when you have God's plan, you have a purpose in life. Folks wandering around. Now, this is something for every Christian. Every Christian should know what your purpose is. Every Christian. I think it's a very sad thing for a Christian to be born again and then to not know their purpose in life. We all have a purpose, all right? Look over at Ephesians chapter 4 now. So let's look into some of this grace. The great thing about it, we'll preface it by saying this. God has called you to do something you cannot do in your own ability. All right? You cannot do it in your own ability. I know for a lot of you sitting there, you see these gentlemen in these blue shirts, these ushers, and you think, oh, anybody could do that. I'm going to tell you, you have to have the grace of God to usher at Rhema Bible Church. Amen. Why? They have to deal with you. And me. It takes grace to deal with people. It takes grace to do what you're asked to do from the leadership, and then to it takes grace to communicate that through your actions and your body language and your words and the whole thing. It takes grace to do it. How many of you would admit it takes grace to work in the children's ministry? Some of you say, I don't have that grace, brother. We don't want you in there either. Now, you really know it takes grace to be on a platform and sing and play an instrument. All right? Now, some people think, well, that's just natural God. No, well, if you can sing, thank God for it. Because God's given you that ability. And the grace of God will make you better than anything you could naturally be. We've probably all heard singers that maybe weren't perfect in all the things, but there was an anointing there. There was the grace of God on it, and boy, did it minister. Amen? Well, thank God, you know. I so appreciate our music department around here. I mean, we have got some of the most talented and grace-filled musicians and singers that I've heard anywhere in the world, and it's a great blessing. It's so easy to get up here and minister the word after that. And, of course, you all pull it out so well. But here in Ephesians 4, let's read verse 1 through 7. I therefore, he said, the prisoner of the Lord. See, and here's where he makes the break between who we are, first three chapters. Now, what do we do? I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, or I beg you, I'm asking you, that you would walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now, interesting enough, the word translated in the King James vocation is the exact same word translated called. So literally he said that you would walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. See, he wants us to know the hope of our calling. Paul prayed that. We can pray that for ourselves. We can pray it for other Christians. Here he comes back and reinforces it by saying, there is one hope of your calling. God doesn't operate with plan Bs, right? God's a plan A. It's God's plan. It's not A or B. It's God's plan. All right? He says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in y'all. You didn't know God was a Southerner, did you? All right. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, he's talking to people that are already saved. So he's talking about this ministry grace. Every one of us. Now, notice he talks about our calling here. And he starts here and he begins to hint, how are you and I going to fulfill our calling? How are we going to walk in it? We're going to look at it. We're going to end with this also tonight. But I want you to notice that the very first thing he says in verse 2, how do I walk worthy of the vocation wherewith I'm called? How do I walk worthy of that calling? With all lowliness and meekness. Humility. We're going to reinforce that later. But humility. Those who walk in the grace of God are humble. Amen. Humility is the strength of the grace that works through you. If you're wanting to do something to make yourself somebody or for the recognition you're going to get, you're not going to do it by God's grace. Amen. God resists the proud. So if I'm coming in this for me, if it's about me, then guess what? The grace of God's not going to operate through me. Let me use a different word for grace here, the anointing of God, the empowerment of God. It's not going to work if it's about me. You know, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will glorify me, for he'll not speak of himself. He'll glorify me. You want to know, to me, that's the very first thing I look at. Well, besides that, does this agree with the word of God? But then number two, who got the glory here? Was Jesus glorified? Then that's the Holy Spirit, right? Now, if it's just me, you know, then if I'm the one getting the glory, if I'm the one getting the credit, then I've got things out of order. And I'm not walking in meekness, lowliness and meekness. Meekness, now, I tell this to students all the time, and I say, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is a spiritual force. But let me kind of use a natural example here. You know, a wild stallion out, there's still wild horses in the United States, some places, but a wild stallion, if you go out and capture that horse, all right, first of all, you're gonna struggle to get him. But you bring that horse in, and now you're going to train that horse to be ridden. Don't ever think that you're stronger than the horse. You have trained the horse to be meek, but he's not weak. Amen? I mean, in a moment's time, the horse can get rid of you when they want to, if they want to. But if you've trained them properly, they're meek, but they're not weak. We're not weak. Don't ever. The devil would make a big mistake to think we are ever weak. But before people and before God, we are meek. But we're not weak. The strongest, the most powerful spiritual people and ministers and people that I've ever encountered, one of the great truths about them was their humility. Their humility. All right? Well, let's go on to 1 Peter chapter 4 now. We'll come back to that in just a minute. 1 Peter chapter 4. So whatever it is God's called you to do, we can thank God, you can thank God that he's given you the ability to walk in it. And to fulfill it. Now you say, well, how? Well, part of that is the humility will activate it. But yet, I'm going to say this to you, and you're not going to walk in the grace to do it until you actually set out and do it. Right? And just because God's given you the ability doesn't mean that you don't perfect your ability. Amen. You know, I used to hear ministers that had, you know, experience in ministry, they talk about, you know, the more they feel like they know less about God than they knew. When I'm saying it, the more they find out, the, you know, the less they think they really know, and because they just find out God's just so big, you know, and I'm just getting started and all this stuff, and they've been at it all these. I understand what they're saying now. I understand that. I mean, after being at this 42 years, sometimes there's so many times you just feel like a beginner. Just like you're just beginning and just getting things, you know, going. And then this, the moment you think you've got it, because you're doing it, you get to where, if you get comfortable and you quit relying on God and you get over into your own area, you fall flat on your face. You say, oh, dear Lord. You learn that lesson over and over and over again. Amen. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 says, as everyone has received the gift. Now, the word gift there is the word charisma in the Greek, the English applied to the Greek, charisma. And it's from the word grace. Grace is C-H-A-R-I-S. Charisma is just with an M-A at the end of it. It means an endowment of God's ability. It's the grace of God given to you. Everyone. How many have received it? Everyone. Even so, minister or serve the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, in one sense, it's all grace. All right? But you know, there's a grace to usher. There's a grace to run sound. do the lights, to make the recordings. There's a grace to run the cameras. There's a grace to work in the children's area. There's a grace to work in the youth area. There's grace in every area, yet it's grace because it comes from God. But he called it the manifold or the many-sided grace of God here. Now notice, we don't own the grace. We're stewards of the grace. Okay? If I gave you $100 and I said, take this $100 and go down and do thus and so with it, it's not your $100 even though it's in your possession. You are to use it in the way whoever gave it to you intended it to be used. So the grace of God that we're given, this gift, this charisma, is to be used as God intended it to be used. And now notice that one of the characteristics of it is that this grace or this gift comes to help me serve others. Even so, minister the same one to another. It's the word for serve. So the gift comes to serve. Now, will the gift benefit my life? Anytime you're obedient to God, that's gonna be a blessing, right? But it doesn't come for my benefit. It comes for the benefit of those I'm going to serve. Grace, the ministry here, this charisma, this endowment of grace comes to help me serve others. Now, verse 11, it says, if anyone speaks, so if you have a speaking gift and ministry and calling from God, do it as the oracles of God. In other words, be God's mouthpiece. Jesus said, the words that I speak are not my own. Well, if he didn't preach his own words, how many of you realize we probably shouldn't preach our own words? Hallelujah. I love there in Mark chapter 16. And verse 20, it says, and they went everywhere preaching. All right. And the Lord the King James says worked with them and confirmed the word was, but really the word them wasn't there. The Lord worked with the word and confirmed the word with signs following. All right. Why? Because when we preach the word, God will confirm that. He's not obligated to preach my opinion, to confirm my opinion or my thoughts. Amen. But he says, if you speak, do it as the oracles of God. If you serve or minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, interesting enough here again, sometimes, you know, there's a linguistic gap. In other words, the language that the Bible was originally written in isn't, we don't speak that language today. In fact, it's not the same Greek that's even spoken today. But how many of you know we don't speak King James English anymore either? Right? And really, to be honest with you, we don't even speak English. We speak American, whatever that is. Right? And then it depends on what part of the country you are then in the country to figure out what that is. Right? But notice he says the ability which God gives. God gives the ability. That word comes from a word where we get our word to choreograph. So choreographer, God's the choreographer of our ministry. Now, what does that mean? Well, he's the one that's telling it, you know, here, you know, when you do a church play, I don't know how it is, I never was involved in any musicals or plays, but I've been involved in some church stuff. And here, you got to put tape down on the ground to get church people to go stand where they're supposed to stand during anything. If the tape's not there, they might just wander all over the stage. I'm not lying. Some of you work, especially when you're dealing with little kids, right? I mean, they'll wander. They'll run right up here and wave at mom and dad. You know, they're supposed to be way back there. Stand on your spot. Well, that's the job of the choreographers, to get everybody in place. But in that day, if you were in that position, you also built all the sets. You did all of the costume design. You hired the musicians. You hired the stagehands. And you hired and paid and took care of all the actors. The ability which God gives. When God has called you to something and gives you the gifts to do it, when you operate it, he's going to take care of you. Amen. I love that it's about Luke 10 there, where Jesus sends them out. I think that Luke 10 is where he sent out the 70 two by two. And then they came back and said, even the devils are subject to it. But about chapter 11, it's either Matthew 11 or Luke 11, there it says that when Jesus sent them out, he went to their villages and preached. He sent them out, but he went to their homes. What? He's taking care of their home while they're out. God will take care of you when you're doing what he's called you to do. He'll take care of your stuff. Amen. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. Look at a couple things Paul said here. I don't know, maybe Pastor Bill would agree with me. From 6:30 to 7 is the fastest 30 minutes on Sunday of Sunday night of any 30 minutes during the week. It is the fastest 30 minutes of the week. Glory to God. All right, Romans 12:3. There's Paul saying this, "For I say, through the grace given unto me." How's Paul teaching this? How's he preaching it? Through the grace given to him. He's not doing it of his own ability. This isn't his own knowledge. He said, "God has given me grace to say what I'm about to say. To everyone that's among you, not to think more highly of yourself than you ought, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to everyone the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office or function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then charismas differing, grace or gifts differing, according to the grace that is given to us." And he talks about some things. But notice Paul said, "I'm saying this by the grace given to me." And then we're in the body, and in the body we have grace differing. You know, your elbow, even though it's a joint, it doesn't make a good knee. That's a joint too. But the knee is supposed to be in the knee, the elbow in the elbow. Part of the same body, but different functions. Each of them given what they need to be strong. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Are you doing all right? Amen. Doesn't matter if you are or not, I'm going to keep going. So that's just a filler statement, right, for preachers? You doing okay? What difference does it make? I'm going to keep going. Not like I'm going to stop. All right, 1 Corinthians 15:10. Notice here Paul testifying again. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." See, Paul had learned the secret, how to labor himself, but to do it with the ability that God gave. But he said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." Now, he'd been talking about being an apostle. He wasn't an apostle because he decided to be an apostle. He was that by the grace of God. Listen to this from the Passion. "But God's amazing grace has made me who I am, and his grace to me was not fruitless. In fact, I worked harder than all the rest, yet not in my own strength, but God's. For his empowering grace is poured out upon me." I mean, if you got the grace of God on, you can do more than you ever thought about doing in and of yourself. Something about the grace of God will just stretch the day. You get stuff accomplished. You don't know how you did it, but by the grace of God. And I think we can do it and not be tired at the end of it. How many of you like that? Here's the Voice translation. "Today I am who I am because of God's grace. And I have made sure that the grace he offered me has not been wasted. I have worked harder, longer, and smarter than all the rest. But I realize it is not me. It is God's grace with me that has made the difference." Whew. How many of you can testify God's grace made the difference? Amen. In every area. Now let's go to James chapter 4. How do we operate in more grace? More grace than what I'm operating in now. Well, we said, what did Jesus say? What did he say there about, what did Paul say? Lowliness and meekness. Lowliness, and that lowliness means you don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Okay? Now, we're not putting you down. We're not putting ourselves down. But we realize, you know, it's when Jesus rode into the city and they cried out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," and they laid palm branches down, it wasn't for the donkey he was riding on. What if that donkey went back to the stall? You know, if you could speak donkey, I don't know how they speak, you know. But he went back and said, "You should have seen it today, guys. They cried out, 'Hosanna to me.' They laid palm branches down for my hooves to step on. They said, 'I was blessed.' They weren't talking to you." Anyway, James 4, verse 6. "But he gives more grace." Everybody say more grace. Wherefore, he said, "God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble." Now, humble, humility is something that we do ourselves. And literally, humility, to be humble means I believe the truth about myself. See, pride is based on the lie. Pride tells me I can do it. I don't need a savior. I don't need anybody's help. I don't need Jesus. That's pride, see? Humility says, without him, I can do nothing. But humility also says, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. It also says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But notice, it never leaves off the in Christ part. Humility, you see, it's I can't do all things. No, without him, I can do nothing. But in Christ, I can do all things, right? So you see that. See, my righteousness is as filthy rags, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yet, and there's none righteous, no, not one. If there's none, that means Tad's not righteous. But I am the righteousness of God through him in Christ. The great exchange took place. But look at 2 Peter chapter 1. No, before you do that, look at Matthew 11. I'm sorry. Look at Matthew 11 first. Sorry. Matthew chapter 11. I want to look at this here. Verse 28 through 30. Now, how many of you remember where the Bible talks about, I think Pastor Craig preached on it last Sunday even, that we are to do the works of Jesus. Right? The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall I do because I go to my Father. He that believes on me, he said. Right, we're to do the works of Jesus. Well, how did Jesus do ministry? Well, here he's going to give us an insight, a look kind of behind the scenes of how he did this. Verse 28, Matthew 11. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Now, not a yoke that needs to be broken, but like join yourself to me. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, I read that for years, just to be quite honest with you. And I read it, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And right in the middle, I would just read over it, because I didn't get it. But right in the middle, Jesus is telling how he does this. How he does ministry. For I am meek and lowly in heart. What's he saying? What's he saying? I'm humble. I'm humble. How did he do what he did? By humility. He said, the Father in me, he does the works. Don't call me good. There's only one good. That's my Father, which is in heaven. Whatever I see the Father do, that's what I do. The Father has sent me. I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Father, not my will be done, but thine. Even to the obedience of the cross. You see, he did all that through humility. Now, in the Old Testament, the most humble person that was mentioned was Moses, remember? He was more humble than all of his fellows, the Bible said. And that's how God worked through him, because he was humble. Even when his own brother and sister came against him. And especially Miriam had leprosy. He prayed for her. He didn't say, well, see, that's what you get when you come against the anointed of God. No, he prayed for her. God said, put her outside the camp. He went every day himself and fed her. He said, make her be outside the camp for this required time. Then she'll be well and she can come back in. But he prayed for her. He was humble. God, and the Bible says, God showed Moses his ways and the children of Israel his acts. See, Moses, if Moses had not found out God's ways, the children of Israel would not have seen the acts of God. What's God's way for us? Humility. I'm doing this, but I'm doing it by the grace of God. It's not me. Okay? I don't ever care. Listen. You've got to get to the place. I don't care what it is you're doing, whether here. Listen, this works on the job too, folks. I'm telling you, it works on the job. If you're worried about getting noticed or winning employee of the month and do all that, just serve people. And be humble. And help other people. Help somebody else get employee of the month. They'll keep you around. Don't worry about it. And listen, if they don't recognize you and they let you go, you were looking for a job and you got that one, God will get you a better one. Come on. All right. 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll end with this tonight. Praise the Lord. I like this because I like grace added, but I like it multiplied. I like multiplication. Doesn't mean I know all, can still, well, I can remember most. Yeah, I guess I know my multiplication facts, but amen. 2 Peter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. We're going to walk in more grace and peace the more we get to know God and the more we get to know his ways. But you know, on your job, you're going to walk in more grace the more you learn about your job and learn how to do that job. You see, if you're on a job and you're there, you know, pastor tells that story about when that boss came along and said, can you do that? He said, I can do it. He didn't know how to do it. He had to go study. But by the time he showed up the next day, he knew how to do it, at least basically enough to get it done. Now, one thing about grace, it's also favor. So he walked in favor. He got pulled into a better job and had favor because he went and did what he needed to do naturally. Plus, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he got the favor when everybody else, even people been there longer than him, stayed in that other job and he got moved on. That can happen to you. God's no respecter of persons. God can give you favor, but part of it is we got to do our part. Amen. You know, a musician that never practices is not going to maintain their skill. Amen. I'll guarantee you, how many of you used to play in the band, used to play a band instrument? Let me see you. I'll guarantee you, if unless you've still been practicing, you're not as good as you used to be. Right? Am I right? You know, I've heard people, especially trumpet players, well, I've lost my lip, whatever that means. I still see them there. What are you talking about? But what they mean is they can't blow in the horn the way they used to. Why? It's a skill that has to keep on. So not only am I operating in the grace of God, but yet, like Paul said, I labor more abundantly. I'm doing my part. If you're a preacher, listen, if you're a preacher, you need to be studying the Word of God. If you're a teacher, you need to be studying the Word of God. If you're going to share, if you're going to work in the children's ministry, you need to know something about kids. If you're going to work with youth, you need to know something about youth. I didn't say become one, but know something, right? There's a lot of helps out there. You want more grace in your marriage? Study marriage from the Bible perspective. Oh, I've gone to meddling now. It must be, it's after 7. See, the anointing's lifted. But he giveth more grace. Grace is multiplied. One of the ways is through knowledge. And so no matter what it is God's called you to do, all right, he's given you the grace to do it. But it can be developed and you can get more as you humble yourself and as you study and show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, and just in the spiritual things and on the natural side of things, right? Learning how to do it. All right, praise God. Let's all stand up together. Amen. Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. Thank you, Father God, for your grace. Without your grace, Father, we could do nothing without your grace, Father. Thank you that through Jesus came grace and truth. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, on Sunday nights, we dismiss this way. If you need prayer for anything, you come on down. Our men are on my left, your right, the ladies over on my right and your left. Come on down, ladies to the ladies, men to the men. If you need prayer for anything, don't forget Wednesday night, hour of power. Praise the Lord. All of our students, where's all of our students? Let me hear the students here, college students. Second term starts tomorrow, new term, new classes. Don't forget to look at your schedule. All right. Amen. We'll see you. God bless you. We'll see you back on Wednesday night. Amen.